It's a movie that needed to be told and a story that needed to be told because most people can't even believe it's real. There is a mentality in those parents, some of them, that I have witnessed in my casting that feels off. It feels like they're trying to sell their kid to me. It feels like they are trying to see whatever they need to do in order for their child to get the part. I mean, it's a really sick system that is the criminal aspect. It appeals to the criminals in power, and it rewards them because they actually believe that they are better than everyone else, to the level and degree that they have such contempt for human life. They hate all human life. All of the things that they say to you from a marketing perspective and talking in their own internal being and feeling, if you spent any time around any of these people, which I have, there is a darkness in each of them. They're not going to change. Let me just make it clear. They're not going to change. They're going to have to get rid of all of these people or fail as a business model in order to allow the real diversity, the real talent, the real stories out there come through.
Due to the subject matter, I am just going to have two short messages that really do help support the show. Learn about the red tea that flushes one-third of fat and detoxes your body. It has 10 years of study and 3 years of field testing. This stuff is truly amazing. See the link below. Also, there is a four-part video series, Making Herbal Medicine Workshop with Marjorie Wildcraft. You will learn 12 different ailments that you can do at home without having to use Big Pharma. Sign up with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a great show lined up with John Paul Rice. He is a producer, an insider in Hollywood, who's produced a movie on child sex trafficking, child abuse, ritual sacrifice. Very, very tough subject, but he's approaching it. He's willing to go on camera and talk about what's really going on in Hollywood. And he's an insider. He's been there for many, many years. He's produced many movies. He's directed movies. He's been an actor in film. And he's going to talk about it. And he's very proud of the movie that they put forward. He's going to talk about what their goal of their movie is and getting the word out on what's really going on, not only in Hollywood, but in all industries at the very highest level of society down to, you know, the lowest level. And, you know, we talk about it a little bit, but I got to tell you, when we have such a huge problem with child trafficking and the ritual sacrifice abuse, this stuff doesn't go on and isn't such a huge black market unless the highest echelons of society is not only involved but are endorsing it. Otherwise, it would end. And so anytime you see a huge, huge market like this, it's one of the largest markets in the world. It's like second right now or first. It's right in there with drugs. And sometimes they say it's bigger. Sometimes they say drugs is bigger. But that's how big it is right now. And whenever you have something like that, you know the top echelons are involved. The CIA is involved, our intelligence agencies, and not just the United States. It's coming out of all the different countries. But Hollywood is involved, and it's a culture in Hollywood. And he's going to go on and talk about what the culture in Hollywood is like and why it's so rampant there. And then he stays after for my patrons, and he goes in further with specific actors. He's going to talk about Kevin Spacey. That's out. We know Kevin Spacey has been involved in this stuff. He talks about Clinton's childhood, why she might have the psychopathy she has. He also talks about how society's projected onto their leadership and how different powers come into play and how different societies can be susceptible to different types of authoritative regimes. Very interesting. And you can get that by going to my Patreon. I have a link here for you. So let's now get into my interview with John Paul Rice. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be here, Sarah. Thanks for having me on.
You have made a movie about child sacrifice, ritual abuse, the whole works. And It's really interesting coming from Hollywood. I know you've made quite a bit of movies and you've actually appeared in movies and things. Why did you decide to do this movie?
We, over the last year, we were learning about human trafficking, something that I've always known because at our company, No Restrictions Entertainment, here in Hollywood, we are doing movies that deal with social issues. These are issues that are rarely, if ever, touched upon in Hollywood mainstream films, let alone independent films. But over the last year, we started getting online with YouTubers and independent research, and then going back in time and actually looking at historical accounts like the Franklin scandal and others. And it all led up to this moment when Ronald Bernard did that five-part interview series on, I think it was DVMTV. And it was that first one where it just shocked us, but everything began to cascade from there and add up. And the more we learned and the more that we saw from Jimmy Savile and others, it started to blow up in front of us that this was a major problem, and it had to do specifically with trafficking of kids and pedophilia. And then when you get into the satanic worship or the ritual abuse, and we started listening to the survivors of that, you couldn't turn away. It's a movie that needed to be told and a story that needed to be told because most people can't even believe it's real. And so our job, at least from where we're coming from, is first we wanted to do something that was art, but we wanted to do it in a way that people who knew about this would be something that they could understand, as well as the uninitiated, the people like us, when upon learning about it are so shocked and horrified, we have emotional reaction and it was something that we wanted to do that is a call to action. So that's why we made the film.
Well, what is the film about, would you say?
Yeah.
We know it's about, you know, the general topic, but this isn't just a documentary. It's actually a story.
Right. So traditionally you would find this kind of subject matter covered in a documentary with interviews and so forth. We did this through the narrative in a supernatural genre. And why we did it this way and why we wanted to tell this story was because we took people from the outside, this homeless heroin addicted teen and a girl who's been abused, domestic violence, if you will, at home by her boyfriend, who has now started to abduct and sell kids for money. And these two forces, these people that are, I guess you could say they're reluctant heroes, they're extremely flawed people, but the love that they have inside, both for themselves and each other, and once they knew the truth about what was going on, they then went on a journey unknowingly down a road where they confronted this child who was sacrificed by these wealthy businessmen. They confront them and try to bring down the operation that they're doing. But it's all through the discovery of this child and the supernatural element, which is more spiritual, about a child who was sacrificed, reaching out to a young boy and calling out for help, and him answering that call and being sent on a journey that leads him down this road to being able to uncover the trafficking ring and the people who are behind it. And it all comes full circle with the child's voice, because it's all about the peace and the love in each and every one of us and the power that we have to answer that call for the child inside of us, as well as for the ones that we don't know and are not related to. So that's kind of the whole story in a sense, but we wanted to do it with real emotion, real intensity, but not do it so much so that the viewer has to turn away. We wanted to focus on this core message of love in every human being, our human family, the one that all of us believe in and would never allow any of this to happen.
Well, one thing that you said about the two characters that are very flawed and they actually become unlikely heroes, and that's one of the themes that I always say, I want every soldier in this fight. I don't care if you're on the left, the right, you're Muslim, you're Christian, you're Buddhist. Every soldier should be in this fight. All of us are soldiers to help take this down, because it's not a left, right, specific religion issue. It affects all of us. And, you know, anybody who is a human is against this kind of behavior. What I got to ask you is, you're from Hollywood. I mean, you're an insider in Hollywood. You've been making films for a while. You've appeared in films. Now, based on your research and your past experience and things, how does this touch your life? I mean, as far as what you've experienced personally, and then maybe what you've learned since?
Well, it's an excellent question. And it started with the issue of child abuse. Because several years ago, I did a movie called Mother's Red Dress, which was the story about a young man who sees his mother kill her abusive boyfriend and goes, it's a psychological, mind-blowing movie, because all deals with the mother and the father. And we went pretty strong with it in terms of what we were saying about, once you know the truth, you can free yourself, begin to heal yourself. So that was kind of the precondition of the understanding that I had about this issue of child abuse, how it affects the development of children, how it affects the mind and your future life. And it can rob you of a life of love. It can rob you of your mind. And so when being out here for 18 years and having seen many things as a young man, unaware at the time really what was happening, I can tell you for certain there is a culture here in Hollywood it starts at the top and it goes down. And I've said this in other times to my friends, to say essentially this: you create a system that rewards certain types of people and their behavior, both financially, because they make you money and bring you more power. This land out here is extremely fertile for predators. And the reason for that is you have artists out here who come from all over, from all walks of life, who leave home, who leave behind their friends and family, because Hollywood or the idea of Hollywood offers them something that they're not feeling at home. They don't feel valued there. We can talk about how, you know, many people come out here who are traumatized, unaware that they are seeking something, fame, fortune, celebrity status, social status, money, power, power over people. And this is a system that certainly, whether it be by design or just an effect, a symptom of its bigger issues, certainly rewards people or encourages them and enables them to do and act upon whatever it is that they want to do. There's an abundance of people here. In this town, there's an abundance of new people always coming into this town for the reason that the film industry is here. And based on everything that I have seen over the years, I can tell you that I've personally experienced people. Obviously, I'm an adult, but I've had producers try to proposition me, try to see how far I will go in business meetings. I've had actors who are willing to do whatever it takes to get a part. They do it with subtle cues. They're taught this. And the idea that...
What do you mean they're taught that? They're taught that they need to do that in order to get ahead in Hollywood.
I think there is an element to that that is extremely credible, because you'd have to believe that all the people, and I'm just taking Harvey Weinstein here for just a second, I believe that all of the grievances are real. I believe the women are credible. But I also know that you have to just think logically. Their managers, their agents, the casting directors, the directors, everybody talks in this town. I mean, this town is full of secrets, but everybody talks. They have the media to be able to give you kind of like this Entertainment Tonight version of Hollywood, which is, you ask all the tourists.
Marketing. That's their marketing arm. Yeah.
Right. And so they come out, you know, tourists come out here and they go to Hollywood and they're expecting to see that, and it doesn't exist. So they're a little let down and disappointed and realize, oh, it's you know, there's stars, homes, this, that, and the other. But the reality is that the perception versus the reality of what's actually going on. Harvey Weinstein was the first time that Americans and people worldwide had a peek behind that curtain for the first time. And that veneer kind of diminished, because you have to look at it logically. At 20 years, two decades, as the victims piled up and nobody said anything. I mean, obviously there was, he had a security detail force that was there to intimidate people, the press or anybody else that decided to speak out. But once we got into this issue of Me Too, and once I started reaching out to actors and actresses that I know personally, and I met and I formed really good relationships with, and they were wanting, you know, me and others to go to their rallies, which I was all for in the initial part of it. But I always said to them, and the children, don't forget the children, because it's bigger than just, these are adults.
Exactly.
Violated. These are defenseless kids. And you have a whole system of parents who are also involved in this. It's disgusting. But
so the parents, do the parents know that they need to be ready to do whatever they need to do with their children in order for them to get parts?
I think that now I've worked with child actors and parents who don't subscribe to that, right? Okay. So I think what you're looking at is there are people that are naive and ignorant that'll find out, you know, at some point that avenues may be closed off. They will not tell you this, you know, if your child didn't get the part for a specific film, if that's what the director or so whoever's in charge of making those decisions is actually interested in, or as a precondition for them to hire that talent. That's at the high level. But for most, I think that many of them are just ignorant, and many of them walk in idealistically. But I also think that there is a mentality in those parents, some of them, that I have witnessed in my casting that feels off. It feels like they're trying to sell their kid to me. It feels like they are trying to see whatever they need to do in order for their child to get the part. I mean, you have people that live outside of LA and fly in here weekly for auditions for their kid. Now, they're putting up money for their child, but it's an investment. This is like if my kid gets cast, this is the break he or she needs. And we're going to go, you know, we're going to continue to move upward in this directory and a trajectory. And they like to hear, you know, key words being said to them, like, you know, this is, oh, yeah. You know, like if you talk to them in a very kind of like bigger picture kind of thing for their kid, they're all on board. They're like, that's exactly what I'd like to hear. You know, that kind of, I mean, I've just heard that. So that kind of thought process where it's like, it's not what the child needs anymore. It's not what the safety and the protections of the kid. It's like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order for my kid to make it. And I'm just saying that's the starting point. You also have parents that engage with drugs, with their children, drinking, you know, just outright risky behavior that compromises their child. And this is also in teens as well. So this doesn't just happen when they're young. This happens when they're also teenage level. And of course, we've seen the news over the last several years about Lindsay Lohan and her parents and others, where there's this weird and bizarre kind of relationship between the parent and the actor or the celebrity. So it's something that is not necessary in order to create art. It's not necessary in order to have this industry exist. And I'm hoping that with our movie and the voices of several other people that are coming out now and sharing their stories about individuals and naming names, that the Me Too movement explodes out of control, goes beyond the framing of Hollywood, and really begins this organic process to out a lot of these people and cause a lot of problems for them, because their time in this environment, in this world, and the ideas that they're bringing to the table in film are exactly what you're seeing. Reboots, remakes, franchises, spinoffs, they don't have any new ideas.
Mm-mm. It's really gone downhill from that perspective.
Yeah.
So now you started talking about naming names. Now I've heard some rumblings about some big names, and I haven't personally been willing to go there unless I have a lot of proof, because it's so unbelievable. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't, somebody who America loves, I can't say their name unless I have more proof, although I've been hearing things all over the place, you know? You know, Kevin Spacey has come out and there's been some proof about him and some pedophilia. He lost his job and the whole works. So that one's, you know, behind us right now. And hopefully that he'll actually go to trial and there'll be some kind of punishment for him. And maybe more will come out because of that. But what do you think about some of these big names that are being named right now? You know, the mass media is spinning it into a big joke, but it's not a joke. And what do you think of some of these big names? I mean, how real is it? I know there are, but some of the big names that are coming forward, how believable is some of that?
It is credible. I will say that, not because of necessarily firsthand accounts that I know, but I've looked at all the evidence, not just the people making the claims, but looking at their ties in the past, past documented specific conversations that were had around Indiana Jones and Marianne. I don't know if you're familiar with that, with the writer George Lucas and Spielberg all discussing about how Indiana Jones, you know, was involved with at 25, was involved with Marianne at 12.
I wasn't aware of that.
Right, and that would be more interesting. And then they kind of bumped it up to her being 15. You know, still underage by legal standards, but a 12-year-old. I mean, the idea that would even come into the minds of people who are making a story. So it kind of like when you see that whole scene where she says, "I was just a child," and you know, and all that, and I was in love, and it takes on a whole new meaning what that scene actually is. There's also the people, the company that they keep, and I'm not talking about those names. I'm talking about people who have already been added, like James Gunn, right? Because of all the tweets that he made. And now people are saying, you know, this was a right-wing white supremacist attack.
And you're not even close to being right-wing. You were Bernie Sanders, and we can talk about that, but keep going.
Yeah. So the thing is that they want you, when they frame this story, I'm talking about the mainstream, they want you to focus on that it was in a political attack, and that doesn't even matter, really. I mean, that doesn't take away the fact that he said all of these things for several years going on, and the idea, also, it's not even what he said, it's the people he's been around. If you look at the trajectory of his history, He was best friends with a guy, I think his last name was Huddleston, who was convicted for having over 600 images of child pornography on his computer. Hello, and then there's trauma, his time at trauma, and the people that he's been involved with and they've been involved. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like this. I look at it in another way, like Hillary Clinton, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what she says or does. It's like, poor Hillary Clinton. It's just so bad. She just has the worst luck in the world. Every time there is somebody who's arrested, every time that there is somebody involved in child sex trafficking at a worldwide level, or someone involved in such bribery and corruption beyond our you know, beyond just taking money, but like the people involved, she just has the worst judgment of character, and she's so innocent. I mean, I just feel so bad for her, and I'm being
such a joke. I mean, you have to be, the fact that you, to be against her as being right wing, or to be, you know, against pedophilia as right wing, is such a joke.
I'm a feminist. I mean, in terms of, I'm for the nurturing, loving, caring, compassionate part of women that is about protecting the oppressed and the most vulnerable in society, and a true. This is what I mean this, I tie this into the movie, because this is a film that women are going to love this movie. It's going to be hard for many of them to see it, but it is the answer of the mother inside of every single one of women who are loving and caring of children and would sacrifice their life for their child. It's the difference between a mammal brain and a reptilian brain. And my calling in all of this is I want all of the good women and men in this world to stand up to these people and say, you know what? I don't care how much I like that movie. I don't want to be supporting an industry that gives cover to people who mess with our children It is the complete perversion of what all of what we're told we stand for and are about. And it is about the death of humanity that we will be willing, because I was entertained by a film, and that somehow, because I was entertained by that movie, and I'm told, you know, I'm looking at a picture and I'm projecting onto it that this is, you know, that he's sorry about it and he feels bad. I'm like going, where was Disney in the vetting process, you know, with all of this? I mean, obviously tweets, you know, today are a factor in your hiring and whatnot, but the idea that this was so obvious and out there, if he had really changed, don't you think he would have issued a statement long ago? Don't you think he would have deleted those tweets long ago? Wouldn't he have renounced his associations with all of these people and truly said, you know what, I am a person who has been involved with people who are connected to this. And it sickened me when I found out, and I immediately terminated my relationship with those individuals. And I immediately started seeking help for whatever it is that I needed so that I wasn't contributing in an industry that deals specifically with child safety.
Yeah, exactly.
And has not been enforced on any level. And they passed a rule or a law like 5 years ago, hadn't even been, Deadline did a story back in April, hadn't been enforced by anybody.
Yeah, well, it's so hypocritical. And let me ask you, I've done some interviews, some really, Scott the Survivor was the hardest. That one just broke my heart, okay? Yeah. And that one, he talked about the fact that over 40% of the people he runs, you know, in Hollywood and in politics are involved in this. Yeah. And is that the proof that you're seeing through all your research? And that's horrifying. And is it, and at the top, is it even worse? Because that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So when we're talking about the top, or, you know, we're talking about the worldwide global.
Well, you know, it depends on how you want to see it. You know, is the top of Hollywood, there's the top of Hollywood, and then there's the top of the worldwide global. And you said before we got on air, you said this is a pattern, this is a template, a model that you're seeing in every single industry. And so what I'm trying to get at is, what is this model? Maybe you can define, what is this model that you're seeing in Hollywood? And then how is that everywhere?
Based on everything that I've seen and read, combined with my own experience, something happened after or just before World War II. And what I personally believe, based on everything that I've read from and watched, I've watched that documentary, JFK to 9/11, Everything is a Rich Man's Trick by Francis Connolly. Wonderful documentary, 3.5 hours is the most. He could have done a 12-hour documentary, but it was enough to give me a sense of where this evil came from. I know many people have talked about bloodlines, they've talked about, you know, Illuminati, they've talked about hundreds of years, thousands of years that this goes back. I'm talking about in the modern day of the people executing this plan. Liberalism used to be the center of the country 100 years ago. It wasn't defined by what it has become today. What it has become today is a perversion of its old self. And the people behind that are very smart. They financed both sides of the war in World War II. They financed Hitler in Germany. That's a fact. Prescott Bush, HW, and others, Rockefeller. That's all out there. It's all fact. You can look it up. The realities are that when they, quote, lost, they brought that Nazism into this country, and they placed it right behind liberalism to destroy it, because it was the strongest force that would never be allowed to be corrupted. This is about personal. We're coming back to it, and albeit in a very awkward way, because there's a train wreck going on in the Democratic Party. But people are jumping off of it because they're realizing that personal accountability and this idea that we're kind of all in this together, but we need to work through things. We can't be yelling at each other. We can't be screaming at each other. We can't be violent with each other. So when I look at this whole system that has been created by Prescott Bush, George H.W. Bush, and the Clintons to the Obamas, it's a really sick system that is the criminal aspect. It appeals to the criminals in power, and it rewards them because they actually believe that they are better than everyone else, to the level and degree that they have such contempt for human life. They hate all human life. All of the things that they say to you from a marketing perspective and talking in their own internal being and feeling, if you spent any time around any of these people, which I have, there is a darkness in each of them. And I don't know that everyone is, you know, it's like a self-awareness, right? That's just their being, which goes back to child abuse. And all of these people who commit acts of pedophilia, this is not a choice. You don't just get information or are offered something. You have to feel that way and believe that way and be led down that path and betray basically everything that you are as a human being to violate the life of someone. So the structure is simple. At the very top, you have people that are rewarded with positions of power. Hollywood started from the mafia long ago. It hasn't changed. It's evolved. It's criminals in suits. It's criminals that are that have the protection of an industry that puts their smiling face up there and a little bit of context around it, and you're projecting the rest of that through your own internal lens onto it, which is, in other words, most of us are healthy. And they know that. Most of us, we may be a little neurotic. We may have our troubles and everything. But most people would never even consider crossing the line. Or if they were to get close, they would stop.
You can't even let yourself mentally think about it, which is why it's so hard for us to even believe this stuff.
Right, right. And they've got it. They've got it perfect in terms of divide and conquer. Because if you look at it, I mean, me too. Who was for Harvey Weinstein? Right. I mean, there were some jagoffs out there that were saying, oh, these women are, you know, maybe true, but it doesn't take away the crimes of what this guy did. Now we have an issue where it's about pedophiles and joking about kids. And you've got, I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but you've got a very strong vocal contingent of people out there in society who are defending James Gunn and saying that this is just funny, you know, humor.
What's the deal with Roseanne Barr? Why was she thrown under the bus so fast? Wasn't even giving a chance to even give her side of the story. But yet James Gunn is still around? I mean, what is the deal?
Now, she's a racist, right?
Well, that's so ridiculous. Her show was so obviously not racist. And then she's just been apologizing nonstop. And it's just, that's so wrong, right? Anybody, and maybe she screwed up. She did screw up, right? We all know she messed up. But fessed up to it immediately and is totally distraught and like, I didn't mean it like that. This Gunn character, it's totally different. The hypocrisy is beyond, you know, belief.
Zero contrition. Zero. No humility, no shame. That is the way that these people operate, because they know that the moment that they admit something that is true, the public will never trust them ever again. So the only thing that they have is lies and deception. And we are, I mean, I'm not talking about me or you, it's all of us together that are pointing these things out. That is what is going to make them, they're not going to change. Let me just make it clear. They're not going to change. They're going to have to get rid of all of these people or fail as a business model, in order to allow the real diversity, the real talent, the real stories out there come through. And I mean this in all sincerity. There are people on the inside of Hollywood that I know who are, I have a group of friends who are connected to writers here. They're all trying to do their best part to red pill in all of the scripts that they write, because most of these people don't even realize what that is or know anything about it. There's other people on the inside that have told me that it's obvious to some people who are watching, but there's a total psyop going on in the American public right now by the mainstream media in Hollywood that we actually have used several times on our foreign adversaries to destabilize their nations.
seems like it's, we are being destabilized. And in 2012, they passed a law to be able to do propaganda against our country. And now they're using it to destabilize us. And you see it by the, this bonkers, you know, I just did a show on the left, you know, the left has gone bonkers. And because they have, you know, and like you were saying, you were a Bernie Sanders and you're kind of, you kind of do this walk away thing. And I, you know, the person I interviewed was says she was a lefty her whole life. She was a liberal and she was, I will never vote for the Democratic Party again because of how, with the Hillary Clinton, they killed Seth Rich. You know, like I said, I want every soldier in the game. And I got to tell you, the Republican Party was the party against slavery. You know, so there's some weird psyop there, too, as far as making the Republicans look like they're the craziest, racist, bigoted people. I am not for left-right. I don't believe in parties. I'm an independent because of all this crap and all the psyops that go on with the parties.
Yeah. No, I mean, that whole experience is what woke me up. I paid close attention to the primaries. I looked at what was going on. Oddly enough, and I want to this kind of tie this into what you said, oddly enough, what I have seen and this I personally experienced, once Sanders lost and he conceded to her and endorsed her, that was like a punch in the gut, right? But knowing what I knew about how the media and the Democratic Party, with the evidence in WikiLeaks, adding everything up that people who were paying attention saw during the primary. And it was worse, believe me. There was more fraud than you could ever imagine.
Oh, I'm millions, sure.
Millions of votes were deleted. He won in a landslide.
He would have won the presidency, I think. I've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But then you got Clinton, and she is this creep. But go ahead.
Sociopath. Yeah.
I don't even know if that's even strong enough word, but keep going. Yeah, I mean, but now we're talking about people who do ritual sexual abuse, and I don't, and I want to get back to that after you make your point, but keep going.
Yeah. So really the thing that people need to understand is like people like me, I watched it and I go, I totally went into what the press was saying about Trump and completely did not listen to him. I mean, that's not saying that I would have necessarily voted for him. But I started seeing little bits and pieces coming through and I go, wait a minute, that doesn't add up to anything.
So what
happened is that I saw like after the election and going forward now, it's like two total different realities, right? There's and what is happening on this side that is you know, hateful of a person, whether you agree with him not or politically. All the energy and effort is being harnessed for the hatred of a person and the hatred of the voters and the hatred of other Americans who voted for this person. And they're going so far as, I mean, Donnie Deutsch on MSNBC 3 weeks ago is calling them Nazis, not Trump.
On television.
On television. So
they're calling the voters that. They're calling us that or anybody who's voted for Trump.
And do you think anybody is ever going to go back to them? I mean, after gaslighting, but it's amazing that the very same people like me and others early on who got gaslit and smeared are now holding on to the very mainstream media that used them and destroyed them and abused them and continues to do so. They are holding on to the lies of the MSN. So it's like a Stockholm syndrome that they have, where the abuser and the captivator, the person that holds them captive, is what they are holding on to back. And it goes back to this issue of child abuse, because if we don't wake up, and I mean this in all sincerity, even if all the human trafficking ended tomorrow and you got rid of these pedophiles and these satanic cultists out, we still have to deal with us.
We still have to deal with all the trauma that they inflicted on the victims. I mean, we have major issues here.
Yes, because there's going to be a lot of wreckage. I believe in the goodness of human beings overall, that once they see the facts and they see these people have been lied to and hurt and abused, that there is going to be a moment where we have to reach out and be caring. You cannot, this is not a culture war in the sense that I'm going to defeat you, I'm going to beat you down, and I'm going to, and once you're down, and once I, you know, like have, you know, become victorious over you because I'm aware of what's going on and you're not, and now it's all been revealed. That's a very dangerous road to go down because it can flip the other way.